Welcome back to Open Line. I'm Wayne Shepherd with our guest John Kitchen tonight. By the way, I would like to welcome officially one of our newer stations to the Moody Broadcasting Network, KREJ in Medicine Lodge, Kansas, licensed to Florida Public Radio and operating and including Moody programming, which also includes Open Line. So special welcome to those of you listening to KREJ tonight there in Medicine Lodge, Kansas. Welcome to Open Line. You can call, too, 312-329-4460. John, I'm sure you have some folks in your church who are listening tonight and say, when is he going to mention he's pastor of our church? Where do you pastor?
I'm the pastor of the Stowe Alliance Fellowship in Stowe, Ohio. We're here near Akron, and I've been here about 3.5 years now after pastoring in Wisconsin before that.
Mm-hmm. Stowe, Ohio, of course, is in the listening area of WCRF, our great Moody radio station there in the greater Cleveland area. When I saw that you pastored an Alliance church and you were writing on the authority of God, I immediately thought of A.W. Tozer. So as I went through the book, I was looking for that, and you quote him. You know all about A.W. Tozer, don't you?
Amazing man of God, and his statements on the waning authority of Jesus Christ in his churches is still, I think, a pretty prophetic statement to all of us, even, you know, 30, 40 years later.
Well, let's dig in a little deeper. As you do in chapter 2, let's talk about the authority of the person of God himself, rooted in his person, his attributes, and so on.
Yes, I think that's where we have to begin, because as we get in later, we talk about delegated authority, but it really begins with the absolute authority of God and who he is. And, I wrestle sometimes to explain it, because I say, well, how do you explain the obvious?
If we had
eyes to see, it would be the most plain thing in the universe that God is in absolute authority. And yet, because of sin, because of all of the ramifications of that, we don't see that so clearly. So I like to think of the names of God, and you just simply go through the scriptures and begin to examine some of those names and see what the scriptures' testimony about God is. And when you begin to compile the, of course, vast list of names that there are for God in the scriptures, it's pretty clear that the God this book represents, the God who spoke this book, is claiming for himself nothing less than absolute authority.
Mm-hmm. We won't go through that rather long list, but I know there's a couple of examples I'm sure you could share with us just to give us a flavor and cause us to want to get in and dig deeper on that issue.
Sure. The name Elohim in the Hebrew scriptures is one that speaks about God's great power and majesty, and it's often hyphenated with other words to describe, you know, God is most high and the Lord who sees and the God of eternity and El Shaddai, the Almighty. And you have, of course, Yahweh or Jehovah. And the fact that that is was to the Hebrews such a nearly an untouchable expression and name that they didn't want to misquote or miswrite it when they were copying the scriptures, that they wouldn't even speak it, and they would do everything they could to treat it as reverent and holy. And it really makes you examine each of our own lives and think again, okay, this is the God who is speaking. This is the God who has created this world and rules this world. And how do I not only speak about him, but how do I think about him? Do I think in line with what he says about himself?
Wow. And then the attributes and even the acts of God all speak to his authority.
Certainly. We go through and study scripture, and we hear about and discover the attributes of God. And of course, Tozer wrote some fabulous things along this line. They're just immensely helpful. And you see that he can be nothing less. If the scriptural record is accurate, which I believe it is, then we cannot look at life as anything else than something that resides under and by his authority. It's his gift to us. He governs it. It's not ours to manipulate to our own ends. We are responsible to him, and we're safe within his care in this world. It's a world full of many dangers and toils and snares, as hymn says, but we are safe under his care, and his purposes can be worked out when he is indeed this God of all power. He knows all, and so forth.
You know, I don't know if you have your own book in front of you there. I'm looking at page 30 where you quote A.W. Tozer.
Yes.
and that little famous statement of his. Do you have it there? Do you want to?
Yes, I do.
Could you just tell us Tozer's words on this point? He says it so succinctly.
He does, and this has been a quote that has just resonated in my heart from the first time I read it back in my seminary days, and it's come to me so often and so powerfully. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The most portentous fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. Were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to that question, what comes into your mind when you think about God, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man."
That's a fantastic summary, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And I think that our view of God, what we think of God, shows up in a whole multitude of ways, even when we're not, technically theologizing.
Yeah.
In Sunday school class and talking about the attributes of God, it shows up in everyday life. How we
It's the conscious and the subconscious, too.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's begin taking phone calls tonight, John. We'll talk more about these issues of authority. 312-329-4460 is our phone number. First is Dennis in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, listening to WRMB tonight. Dennis, welcome to Open Line.
Good night.
Go ahead.
My question has to do with the whole attitude of not questioning authority. I look at what's happened in our churches today, and I look at the way we worship today, and I realize that if it had not been for Martin Luther questioning the authority of the church, that we would not have the authority that we have of reading the word ourselves. The word would be interpreted for us by the clergy, and we would be under the same authority, the Roman Catholic Church, that ruled before the days of Luther. If there were not questioning authority, for example, or rebellion, we would not have an America. We would not have had a civil rights movement. We would still have slavery in America. So many things that have come about because of the questioning of blind, not questioning blindly authority. And my question is, where do you draw the line, and how can you discern?
It's a good question, and it gives us a chance to point out the distinction of what we're talking about here, John, doesn't it?
Yes, it's a great question, Dennis. Thank you. I certainly don't want to be heard as saying that living in submission to authority is a blind kind of almost mechanistic, mechanical approach to life. Just look around and see who God's put over you, and just kind of fumble along doing whatever you're told to do by them. That would be, I think, a misunderstanding of what Scripture speaks about authority. Now, certainly God is the only one who possesses absolute authority. And I think Scripture speaks about the fact that then God delegates measured portions of his authority for the outworking of his purposes in this world. And he does that in the home, and he does that through the church and in the government and so forth. And yet, those who are in positions of leadership there don't possess absolute authority. They will answer for their use of that limited delegated authority that God hands to them. And we are also supposed to be fully engaged, our Bibles open, our minds engaged and filled with the Spirit and searching the Scriptures and being involved in. And I think there's all kinds of room, whatever level we're talking about, where we're talking about with the state or in the church or in the home or whatever, for dialogue and discussion and say, wait a minute, I don't understand how that works with this scripture. And I think largely the success of that process of communication and so forth comes down to our attitude in it. And I think, how am I approaching those in authority over me? What is my attitude? I think there's great ways that can work out when the attitude is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And there's disastrous ways that can happen when not always, of course, but oftentimes I see, even among Christians, a kind of cocky attitude that says, who do you think you are, and that sort of thing. That undoes the good that may be being sought out in the process. So I think there's all kinds of room for dialogue and involvement and asking questions. And even in the end, as the apostle said, you know, I must obey God rather than man. There's those moments that come, perhaps, in our lives like that. And yet even in those, when we can't obey, I think we can continue to have a submissive spirit and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God wins a big victory when his people are like that.
Yes. Dennis, thanks for your call tonight. It is important for us to talk about this, though, John, because what we're talking about here is we're talking about the authority that comes from God himself.
Right.
And obviously it's possible for men to take that authority and to twist it and to abuse it. And that's, you know, that's where Martin Luther comes in. You know, he went back to the authority of Scripture itself. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, only God is flawless in the use and possession of authority. And certainly no one, whether that be governmental officials or leaders in the church or parents within the home or whatever, no one is going to be flawless in that use and is going to be fallible.
Right.
I think, you know, in the scriptures when it talks, for example, in the church, when it talks about those who are leaders in the church, it speaks about them having a certain authority to lead the church, but it's also a bounded authority. It's not unlimited.
Right.
They are to lead you in the Lord. They are to be men of certain character. And they're, I think in the outworking of most churches, there's means by which the church recognizes the call of God upon those lives and
mm-hmm.
participates in that process. And their scripture makes clear, 1 Timothy talks about how elders are subject to the discipline of the elders as a whole as well. And so they're not unaccountable. They're not untouchable. And I think that, you know, there's ways when certainly the church has seen its share of scoundrels along the way.
And, yeah, your authority as a pastor is held in check by the word.
Right, absolutely. And I'm a believer in that the scripture teaches the plurality of the elders. And so, you know, we talk here about how, you know, as a man is an elder, it doesn't mean he can run around and say, listen, I'm an elder, you have to do what I say. The elders, I think, operate with authority as they operate together. And
mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean one person or the pastor or any one of them can go around and just order people around and have this kind of unilateral authority to boss people around. Rather, it's in the council of the elders as they seek the Lord together, governed by the scriptures, knowing they're accountable to God, whatever the process in an individual church is for recognizing God's anointing on the man to be an elder. In those bounds, then, they lead and say, here's God's word, here's God's will for us as we apply it here, let's go forward in doing this. And they can do that with a sense of confidence and authority that this is indeed the direction God wants us to go.
Let's pick up the line to Bill in Kokomo, Indiana, listening to WIWC tonight. Bill, you're on Open Line with John Kitchen.
Well, hi, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Bill. I wanted to make a point that it's, you know, of course it's very difficult for us to accept authority, but I have found that it's also very difficult to administer that authority. And I think of being a parent when you say, okay, Timmy, no TV until you clean your room, and it produces tears, and the tears and wanting to be liked make you retrench. I think of pastors who want to say to their congregations, the word says thus and so, we've got to do this, and they fear some retribution or something. And I just wonder, how do we deal with that fear from that side of trying to administer the authority, but having fear or just wanting to get along better and pulling back a little bit?
Great question, Bill. It to me is one of the most frightening things in my life to think about the fact that in some way, in some measured scope of things, God has you know, said, here, I want you to lead. I want you to lead this church. I want you to lead the elders. I want you to preach my word. I want you to parent and lead your home. And that scares me to death. And it's, I think, first of all, a recognition that in those positions, I will be held accountable for God, to God, by God. And, you know, when the kids cry and whine and it's hard and discipline is a heart-wrenching thing for a parent. I try to realize at that moment I'm not only disciplining them for whatever it may be, I'm shaping a worldview and I'm shaping their image of what God is like and what this world is really like. And that lifts me, if I could say, lifts me out of the immediacy of the situation to say this is a much bigger matter going on now than whether or not they get more TV time or whatever. This is a matter of helping them understand the basic structure of the universe. There's authority, and even if you don't understand sometimes why things are best in the way they are, don't understand what God's doing, nevertheless, these are the responses we need to make to authority. And I think that helps me a lot in those moments. And I think that we're ultimately, whether at whatever level we're operating in those things, we're helping people discover, if we really believe God is who he is and we really believe he is sovereignly in authority over the world, we're really helping train them in one minute area to begin to bring their lives under his authority and care as a whole. And in that, it's ultimately a healthy, good thing. It's a blessing to them. You're guiding them into a path of life, not just the immediate pain that comes from discipline.
John, thanks for your comment. I have just a brief moment if you have a follow-up. I'm sorry, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and I see that point because I know children who aren't disciplined suddenly get out in the world and they meet up with a boss or a policeman who does have that hard authority, and it's a shock to them.
Right.
And I hate to think of people who will meet with their creator, with Jesus at the judgment seat, and have that same shock, you know, because they weren't taught the authority early on.
Once again, God's way is the way. It's best for us. Bill, I need to take a break, but thanks for your phone call tonight. Others of you who would like to talk on this issue with Pastor John Kitchen, the author of Embracing Authority, give us a call, 312-329-4460. And if you'd like to find out more about the book that John has written, you'll find that on our website, openlineradio.org. Second half of our conversation coming up. A question from a listener coming up, John. How do we yield our life to Christ's authority? It's a good question. We'll get to that in a few moments.